The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I had spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like branches and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of our God, the source of all life, all love, and all light, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Let me tell you a little bit about what God is up to regarding our vestry here at St. Andrew's Church. The vestry is the highest level of governance at the local level of any Episcopal church. This past Saturday, actually a week from yesterday, the vestry completed part two of its annual retreat. In a four-hour span of time, we did several things. We prayed together, we broke bread together, we laughed a lot together. We made some exciting decisions that will be unveiled over the next couple weeks, so stay tuned. And we set goals for the vestry and the parish to guide our common life over the next year. Everyone participated in the conversations. Everyone seemed excited to be there and to participate in God's unfolding work in this place. The energy was palpable. One of the parish-wide goals we set was to share our experience of God's story in our lives, and to invite people on their own terms to experience community here at St. Andrew's. In other words, something that our presiding bishop is focusing on, evangelism. But notice we avoided that word because we really don't like that word as Episcopalians. Evangelism, ooh. A word that has been narrowly defined by a certain brand of Christians with which we have some things in common, and with which we disagree on more than one thing, including our approach to spreading the good news, or evangelism. Indeed, the word is laden with negative connotations, and we need to take that seriously. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be excited about what we are experiencing in our lives when it comes to God and our faith community. We say, oh, but we don't want to be too joyous about that. We don't want to be associated with those Christians. And yet, that sentiment has not done us well as Episcopalians. That has led the Episcopal Church and many denominations of what we call the mainline church, Presbyterians, Methodists, Lutherans, those churches that had buildings on the main line of the trolley in towns across the country. That's why they're called the mainline churches. That has led us to become very complacent and not very engaged with our world and sharing how we experience God's love and community. That speaks to a deeper issue, I think, of the Episcopal Church and the other mainline churches. A few years ago, there was a sociologist of religion who was doing a bunch of research as to why people were either going to certain faith traditions or leaving certain faith traditions. And she had some things to say about each one. And for the mainline church, including the Episcopal Church, people were leaving or not coming or not being led to the mainline church because they were perceived as boring. They don't want to take stances on things. They just want to keep things exactly the way they are. Boring. So the spotlight is off of us. We can look at other Christian traditions in the United States. The Roman Catholics have difficulty retaining and attracting adherents because of all their rules and hierarchy. The evangelicals have difficulty retaining and attracting new people because they focus so much on the afterlife, on what's going to happen then, that they forget about what's in the here and now, what's going on in people's lives, how we treat others in the here and now. These, of course, are generalizations, but there is some truth to them. Although we here at St. Andrew's continue to grow spiritually and numerically, still today, if we do a rough count, half of our worshiping congregation is new within the past 5 years. But we will still continue to figure out how to best connect with people and come to realize that sharing God's story can be exciting and that it's not a mere recruitment tool. Yes, we want people to come to St. Andrew's and enjoy it, but it's really about changing lives to change the world. And we can do that here and in so many places around the globe. Changing lives to change the world and being excited about it. So over the next few weeks, we'll do what we typically do and form a task force who will come up with a really nice plan to figure out our strategy to share our story. And it's going to be exciting. So don't worry, we won't be those Christians. We will do it in an Episco way. And one recommendation that I'll have to offer this particular task force is that we come up with a line of marketing products, if you will, with a tagline on it. So this is what I'm proposing, and Sue has one for the choir, and it's this. This is an actual bumper sticker. It says, "Keep church weird." Keep church weird. What was that back there?
We do that already in the choir,
so if you want to be weird, join us. So the choir feels that they are all set with their weirdness, is what they're saying back there. Stay with me. I have more to share about that. Not about the choir, but about the church. That the church in general, how we are weird. Keep church weird. You may have seen something similar. If you go up to Vermont, they have a line of marketing products that says, "Keep Vermont Weird." I first saw it when I was down in Austin, Texas, several years ago for a trip, for a conference. And I got off the airplane at the airport, and right inside the airport, there was a kiosk with "Keep Austin Weird" memorabilia on it. So, and then, of course, Portland, Oregon, they really live up to it there. They have the "Keep Portland Weird." Don't tell them I said that. But it's a good thing, and I mean it as a very good thing. You have to realize that and have to admit that "Keep Church Weird" will generate some attention and maybe even some curiosity. That statement may make you feel a little uncomfortable, or it may generate some interesting images of how other Christians are weird, based on their practices and beliefs. Some of you may think, if we create bumper stickers at St. Andrew's with that on it, I'm leaving. I just want to go to a normal, conventional church. One like that does not exist, my friends. But breathe for a minute. Let's unpack what we're talking about. Keep church weird. What does the weird mean? To help define that, we're going to consult the book of Acts, the passage that Steve read moments ago. Notice that it has this angel talking to Philip, and Philip needs to go and spread the good news. He's got a message to share about God's love, and that message is about sharing God's love to all people. So what does the angel do? He says, you need to go a different way. You need to take the wilderness road. That can be interpreted as the wilderness way, or the unconventional way, the unconventional or uncommon way, the unfamiliar way, the outside our comfort zones way. We try to do that day in and day out at St. Andrew's by going down the wilderness road, the road that is less traveled, by doing things like visiting people in nursing homes when most of society wants to shut their doors on that particular demographic, or when many people aren't listening to the real needs of veterans. Our diocese is forming lunch groups so veterans can break their isolation. Or our church without walls. Who wants to spend time with poor people? We don't have time for that, but we have people who do, and we are blessed because of that. We're going down the wilderness road. All Christians are called to do that. People of other faiths are called to do that, and that's weird. We live in a society right now that's so segmented based on generational lines. If you go to any organization, you'll see that there are a number of activities for this demographic and that demographic based on generation. And that's important. We do that to some degree at St. Andrew's because you have to have age-appropriate opportunities. But someone once said that the church is the last outpost in our society for authentic, multi-generational interaction, where you have people of many backgrounds, multiple generations, young and old alike, in the same room doing the same thing at the same time. That's weird. The church throughout time has promoted a different type of economy called God's economy over a conventional understanding of economy. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. We value things like humility over strength, mercy over judgment, joy based on relationships and meaning over joy based on material things, inclusion over exclusion. We are countercultural in so many ways, and that's what keeps us weird. And then if we don't think that this wilderness road is weird for Philip in today's Book of Acts passage, things just get weirder for him. So when he's on this road, he comes across an Ethiopian eunuch. A eunuch literally is a castrated male. A castrated male. And they are deemed as an outsider, both by Jewish tradition and by conventional community. They kind of live by themselves. This guy was rich because he worked for the Ethiopian queen, but he was socially poor in so many ways because he was an outsider. Philip then gives us a great example of how to be truly present with someone perceived as different. So what does he do? He spends time with the eunuch, real time. He really wants to get to know him. He affirms his innate worth. He made him feel included when most of his life he felt excluded. They even did some Bible study on the side of the road. Philip shared his thoughts about Jesus. The eunuch was so moved, he wanted to be baptized right then and there. And it just so happens water was present. Amazing how that happens. And Philip had no qualms bringing into Christianity someone both society and the religious tradition deemed as an outsider. That's weird. Because our time-deprived society says we don't have that kind of time for those people. That's why, my friends, we, the body of Christ, are called to love and invite into community any number of people society, even other religious groups, have deemed as outsiders. Jesus' loving embrace holds all people. That's weird in conventional terms when we want to separate people based on so many things. When we encourage authentic relationship as more important for church participation over right belief, We're doing something that both society and some religious groups in general object to. They will say that's weird. For example, for the past few years, we've been an open communion parish where we invite all people to receive communion at God's table, regardless of baptism, status, and background, because we believe that God's grace will move people, that God's grace will somehow seep in and will transform them as it transforms all of us. And yes, there's historic precedent for baptism first, and we need to honor that in many ways, and there's solid theological rationale to baptize before people take communion. Then there are other reasons to offer communion to all people. We have seen this particularly at our Celtic service when we've offered communion. About 50% of the people there are not from St. Andrews. Some people have found church for the first time through that service. And I cannot tell you the three or four times that people came up to me because we were an open communion parish and they said, "We have never been able to receive communion before, and my life has been changed. My life has been changed." Some of those folks have been baptized and now are very active in our faith community. Toward the end of this passage, it says that the eunuch walked away rejoicing. Rejoicing. We strive to be a community that cultivates joy, whereas much of our society really wants to cultivate separation and negativity. What if people were drawn to the love of God partly because they see the joy that we exude through joyful acts and demeanor? That may be weird, but so many people long to be fulfilled, to find meaning, to find purpose, to experience true joy. You know, over the past decade, much research has been done on how to attract millennials, to attract younger generations to church. Many churches have tried to become relevant, and I applaud them for their efforts. They try to become hip, they become cool, and we need to learn from them to some degree. But they do things like have their pastors wear skinny jeans. Skinny jeans do not look good on me. It will not happen. So don't worry. So take a deep breath. Or having fog machines on stage, or using drums and guitars only, period, because that's what's going to attract young people. And they've been moderately successful, but really they've plateaued. Come to find out, younger generations, they have their musical preferences, but they kind of like blended worship. They like some organ, they like some guitar. But they are more likely to stay in churches that embrace the weirdness it's always been known for, such as forming authentic community with a variety of people, a commitment to social action rooted in ancient practices of faith, including Holy Communion and contemplative forms of prayer. That's what's keeping them there, not the fog machines or the pastor in the skinny jeans. The church, my friends, is called to do what it always has done, and by embracing our weirdness in all of its glory. We are to be more like the Isle of Misfit Toys and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer than the Isle of Perfect People. That's weird. So friends, let's keep making the church weird. And I guarantee you, the good news of God, the good news of God's love for all people, will speak to more and more people. Amen.